Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I'm so appreciative of your love and kindness and tender mercies. I'm so appreciative, Lord God, of the depth that we can find you in. That even in the place of darkness, you are there. Coming to a greater understanding when it says that if we are in the heaven, we can experience you there. And even if we find ourselves, it feels like we're in the depths of hell, that you are altogether there. Wow. Such a great, great Father God you are. And I thank you, Lord God, that no matter where we find ourselves on this life's journey, you've experienced it, you've been there, and you are there. And I'm so appreciative, so much more appreciative of Jesus. Of Jesus taking on human flesh. I love you so much, Jesus. So that you're able to identify with us in our time of deepest need. Even when we, as the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, even when we despair even of life, that you are there. And I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you, Father, for being in my brothers and sisters. I thank you for your visitations, Lord God, in human form throughout the body of Christ. Even through backslidden people who once knew you. And the only way that they could have reached out in such tenderness because they once had a relationship with you. And even in a place, Lord God, of such raw emotion and bitterness, a ministry was able to go forth, even to those who were backslidden, Lord. That you even use this time, Father, of the departure of our son, so that Christine and I could speak life into other people, Lord, through the veil of tears. And I just, you're just so good. You're so good. I've just come so much more to appreciate your fatherhood, your parenthood over my life, over my wife's life, over all of our lives during this time. We thank you and we bless you and we praise you, Father, for this truly is the day that you have made, and we do rejoice and we are glad in you. Amen. I just simply titled this The Unexpected, The Unexpected. And as certain things started coming to me throughout these past couple weeks, I'd make a little note here and a little note there and look at it. And I just felt the Lord prompt me to go back and look at some of my recent messages. So I went back and looked at some of the titles, the last 7 messages. And when I look back at them, like Wednesday, June 13th, a look at the surrendered life. And 2 messages on the Father heart of God. And the spirit of love versus the spirit of murder. Then God's persistent and pursuing love. And one called Always Looking Unto Jesus. And this other one here that I had the initials KCPS, Keeping Christ's Position Sovereign Over Our Lives. And it was like the Lord was preparing me for something to come. Because in one of the messages I said, are you all in? Are you willing to go all the way with Jesus? That no matter what you face or no matter what you go through, will you still pursue him? When the bottom falls out, when everything caves in, it was like the Lord was just bringing me back to some of those things that I was encouraging and speaking to all of you in. And when you find yourself in a place of such raw, ripped apart emotion, not understanding, most of you may not know, but Jeremiah and Beth. Beth and Jeremiah got a notice in their condominium that they needed to leave. And Beth had been living there for 20 years, and the last 2 years since they'd been married, Jeremiah was there. And they didn't have a place yet to go to, so we said, come over and stay with us. So they were living in my office, the Timothy House apartment. So for 6 weeks, God allowed a beautiful bonding to take place. And little be known to me, it would be the last 6 weeks of my son's life. And we had conversations, such deep conversations, that seem to get lost over time when your children grow up and go away. When they grow up and they get their own family and they're married and they're out there in the world doing what they do, at times you're not as close as you once were to your family. And so I got to spend such wonderful, intimate time together with my son. And I remember one time over the kitchen table there, I was recounting to him of a time of restoration that had taken place 20 years prior. And I remember my son that had gone through a time of dabbling in drugs and had messed up his mind so much so, and got to a place where 20 years ago he didn't really want to have anything to do with Christine and I. And I remember when he left home, I just remember God speaking to my heart, you have to keep the communication open. You've got to continue to reach out even though he slams a door in your face. You have to continue to speak to him, and though he throws this or that within your face. And so he was working at Blockbuster at the time. Blockbuster, wow, that's a while back. On US 19 and working part-time at Yaya's next door. And every other Sunday night, I would go in there and just walk in the store, and he'd go, what the blank are you doing in here? I said, I'm coming to see you. Get the blank out of my store. So I would leave the store. 2 weeks later, I'm back. 2 weeks later, I'm back. 2 weeks later, I'm back. God had me do this. No matter the response, God had me do this. No matter what the words would come out, he had me do this. And then Christine and I went on his birthday, August 10th, and we just left gifts on the counter, and we walked out. And then Thanksgiving, we bring Thanksgiving dinner, and we leave it on the counter and walk out. Then Christmas time, we took the school children to see Christmas lights down on the south side of St. Pete. You know that guy who's got all these lights everywhere? And then afterwards, let's go by where Jeremiah works, because a lot of them had gone to school with Jeremiah. He had already graduated. And I said, let's walk through the store and say, you know, Merry Christmas. And so we all walked through the store, and he's just like shaking his head. Of course, he has to wave to all the kids. They didn't do anything wrong. And then we leave all these gifts on the table, and we walk out. Then not too long after that, I get a phone call. Dad, we need to talk. And he says, I've messed up my life. He goes, I've messed up my brain so much, I don't even know if I can get it back together again. I said, why don't you come home? Why don't you come home and we'll deal with it then. When he came home that day, began going over with him about what happened to me here at this church when Pastor Bill called forward everybody who had messed up their minds with drugs and alcohol. And he says, anybody that you feel that you've got some sort of mental disability or that you feel that you've messed up your brain with drugs and alcohol to come forward. And I remember when I went forward, I was watching, I was standing, well, let me just say the line was like this, and people were getting prayed for. Of course, I always like to watch ministry going on. I'm praying in the spirit, but watching ministry. And Pastor Bill's just, he just took his little middle finger and went, doot, doot, and I went, poof, poof, poof. It's like, man, they look like dominoes. These people are just going out. I was like, oh, Lord, I'm going to get healed today. I said, the things that I messed up using drugs and alcohol, that you're going to heal my brain also. And when Pastor Bill came up and did this to me, you may have heard my testimony before. It looked like one of those movies where somebody gets, it's kind of gory, but gets shot with a shotgun and they fly back. I mean, he went boop, and I flew back, I don't know how many feet, took out the first two rows of chairs. Supernatural. And I didn't get hurt. I'm glad nobody was in those chairs. And I got up and everything was pristine. Everything was, I mean, it was just all clear. I was like, oh my gosh, it was just absolutely beautiful. And I'm sharing this with my son. I said, I'm going to lay my hands on you. And I said, God's going to do the same thing within your life. He goes, you really think so, Dad? I said, no, I know so. I know so. And so I laid hands on him. He went on to get his associate's degree at St. Pete College and went on to get his bachelor's degree at University of Tampa with honors and started in the IT world. He was a business degree, but he specialized also in internet security, man, did he know internet security like no one else. And during that time, he got introduced to some people, so-called designer drugs. When he got an executive position, hey, why don't you try a little bit of this? Why don't you try a little bit of that? Long story short, he got once again involved in something that he was set free from, and that was 10 years ago. And from 10 years till now, oh, just the wonderful change that had taken place within his life. And Jeremiah and Beth, as you know, she came here in 2000, July 7th, 2000, rings the doorbell at the church office, and I opened the door. I'd met her one time before, and she says, I'm a psychologist, and I tell everybody every day how to get their life straightened out. My life is a mess. What are you going to tell me? One moment, Christine. I need you up front here. I rang Christine in her office, and so we got together and met with Beth. And Beth got gloriously saved. Beth fell on the floor right there in the office and just cried out to God and gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was working for the state at that time. Well, her job ended with the state, and she wanted to start her own business. But she didn't know anything about the business side of it. And she came to me and says, I would like Jeremiah to take over the business side. I was like, whoa, wait a second. He's in this recovery process here. He is, I said, I don't quite know where he's at in you trusting him with money and finances and banking and all this kinds of things. She goes, I really believe that God told me that he's going to help start this business of mine, and it's going to become a thriving business. And the last 5 years, it's been a very thriving business. He did everything on the backside. Computer, internet, financing, everything on the backside. Beth dealt with the clients, the people coming in. And what I found out recently was his impact with some of the clients, especially the teenage boys that Beth could not relate to, that Beth had a hard time reaching because she was a female. Whatever the reason was, Jeremiah was able to minister. He was able to reach out. He was able to help Beth in that ministry. And it was just to hear some of these things that have taken place that I didn't know, that I didn't understand about. And I was reminding him sitting there at that on the coffee table a few weeks ago of what had happened and transpired within his life. And the tears began to flow, and he had to get up from the kitchen, get up from the table, go in the kitchen, get paper towels and blow his nose and wipe his eyes, and came back in, and we were hugging, kissing. He was kissing me all over the face. It was, oh yeah, and then we had a walk around the property there, and I said, you know, I didn't even expect to live to be 21. He goes, I didn't expect to live to be 20, because we both had very wild lifestyles, and he made a statement to me, and he says, I don't know how much longer I'll be here. He had this premonition of him always going first. He had this thinking, he even told Beth, he goes, Beth, as you know, is 12 years older than Jeremiah, but they made such a beautiful, beautiful pair, just a beautiful couple. And he always told Beth, he said, I'll be going before you. She goes, what do you mean? She goes, I'm 12 years older. He goes, I don't have a body like you have. My body is aged from everything I've done. My body isn't going to last. I just know that I'm going to go first. And he had this understanding of him going first. And during that conversation we had, he goes, Dad, let me share with you what happened on Mother's Day. Mother's Day, I'm not going to go into details of why it occurred, but on Mother's Day, he has a near-fatal accident. And as he is laying there, teetering between heaven and earth, there's this peace and this understanding that he had with inside of himself that he was saved, and if he was to breathe his last breath, he'd be in Jesus' presence. He says, Dad, for some reason, you need to know this. You need to know that if that was my last breath, I believe in Jesus Christ. And when I die, I'll go home to be with Jesus. He said, go home to be with the Lord. And he had this knowledge, he had this understanding deep with inside of himself at the brink of life and death, there was an assurance of where he would go. And it wasn't from Mother's Day to July? What was that? May 6th. Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Yes, it was May 6th. Right. It was May 6th. And then he departed on July 26th. So I believe that this time that I had with my son was a God-ordained time. It doesn't make it any easier. I've been through a lot of death. I've seen a lot of death in my life. Most of us have probably partaken of a loved one's death, a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt, a mom or a dad, my sister. I know what death does when a parent experiences their child's death when they don't know the Lord. It's horrible. It's horrible. Even to those who do know the Lord that don't have a strong walk with the Lord, some of them lose their faith. Some of them depart from God. Some of them actually become atheists because of the things that they face, that what happened, where's this God that I said that he's my Lord and my Savior, and why did this happen? Sometimes it's a young couple and a husband or wife dies suddenly, or it's a child, and just everything is just in shambles. My mom was in a depression for 10 years when my sister died at 13 years old. I was 16 years old at the time. I know what a person can experience when they don't know Jesus. But having known Jesus, and that's why I'm so emphatic about you knowing who your Lord is, about you knowing what Jesus has done, who your Father God is, and having a relationship and a fellowship with him. Because the unexpected is going to happen. The unexpected will come. And it's going to come when you're not expecting. Things are going to occur in life. Jesus said they'll occur. And he says there is a place that true eternal life, John 17, verse 3, eternal life is what? Knowing God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. And if you are not actively acquainting and getting more intimate, it's one thing to know Scripture, and it's another thing to know the God of that Scripture. And God is bringing us to a place of knowing the God of himself revealed in Scripture. And when that becomes a living reality to you, oh, yes, I've told people my heart feels like it's been gone through a paper shredder and it's just in 1,000 pieces, but held in the hands of God. You see, you know, you could be broken, you could be ripped apart and tears flow, and the sobbings happen, but yet you know you're held. You know that there's a supernatural peace on the inside when in your mind and your thinking, everything is in an upheaval. And it's just like, what do people do without Jesus? How do people go through something like this without Jesus? And yes, there was a time there I was in the kitchen. I shared it with Christine. I said, I've seen a lot. I've seen too much. I've seen too much. I've seen too much death. I've seen too much suffering. And Lord, this just feels like a little bit too much. So if in your divine wisdom or mercy, if it is befitting to you, then I'm ready to depart. Because you feel like that. See, God is okay with raw emotion. God is okay with what you're feeling at that time. I'm not denying God. I'm just saying, let's get out of here. I've seen enough pain and suffering. And I basically said, I'm done. Well, I'm not done. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. The Apostle Paul, even everything that he faced for the testimony of Jesus, got to a place, I'm done. He despaired even of life. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, and yes, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Oh, I love this last part here. This part here, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Something died in me. Something died in me. But something has been raised up that's beautiful.
Something has come to life that is becoming even more beautiful. It's hard to explain that, as Christine said, that our son's death is going to bring life. And we've already heard of the life that it's bringing. We've already heard about people in communication with family members that they haven't been in communication with. My best friend from high school, 1973, he's in contact, or he's trying to get in contact with a son that he hasn't spoken to in 2 years. And so Gary calls up his daughter and says, "Would you two please tell Arthur Jr. that I love him? And that no matter what choice he's made in life, I want to have a communication with him. I want to bridge the gap once again with him. I still love him. He's my son." And so the message has been given to Arthur. There's another friend of mine, 1969, and his son is facing something very similar to what Jeremiah had gone through within his life. And he was closing off the communication until he read my Facebook post and says, "You know, Mark, I'm hurt and devastated by the choices that my son has been making and how he's hurt me." And he says, "But I'm willing to keep the communication open." So life is coming. Life is coming out. My other friend from 1969, there were three of us that hung out together from 1969 to 73 in Puerto Rico until my parents divorced, and then I moved to California with my mother. When he came to the door at a very vulnerable time, and I was not doing very good, so I was able to bring him in, and we were able to reminisce about, of course, some stuff you do as kids, but then I was able to minister. I was able to share and impart life. Because of a death that occurred, it allowed a person who was backslidden to come to my door, and out of death, life was ministered. And so we have to realize that even in a place of being hurt, even in a place of being shredded, even in a place of just, you just feel like you're bleeding everywhere, there's another blood. And there's life in that blood. And that's Jesus' blood. That even when you're raw, and even when you're hurting, if you will just be sensitive to the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation, God will use the present situation that you're facing to minister life to somebody else. And that's what's been taking place, and that's what's been happening. And it's been actually very beautiful, very beautiful. I think it's supernatural that Christine and I are here today. But God is a supernatural God. God is great. And we know that it says in 1 Corinthians 15:26 that the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Now, we all know death. It's a 100% statistic. 100%. Except for a group of people that will be here when Jesus comes. They're just going to be changed, okay? But it says that part of the curse was that this mortal body will grow old, decay, and die. The day that you eat of the fruit that they were told, that you will surely die. And so part of the curse is that we do grow old and die. And Jesus came and he experienced death for us. But he didn't stay dead. Three days later, he resurrected from the dead, giving all of us the hope, giving all of us the promise that when we put our faith in the eternal redemption of Jesus Christ for a sacrifice of sin on behalf of all mankind, and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are assured that when we depart from this body, the body will lay here. It has to die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But there is going to be a trumpet sound one day. The last trumpet shall sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain will be changed in a twinkling of an eye and forever be with the Lord. You see, my hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have to realize, and if you don't realize, and if it's something uncomfortable for you to talk about, death comes to every person. It's just that life at times brings it to us unexpectedly. We're not ready. It's not fair. I just had this relationship restored, and I was looking for some great years together with my son. I was just like, I don't understand this. It was just perfectly restored. And now he's gone. But God was preparing me. God was getting me ready, and I didn't even realize it. Getting Christine ready. And him out of his own mouth, letting us know some things. And so God is also the God of the I don't understand. He's big enough to carry all your questions, all your concerns, and all your I don't understands. And he's so loving and he's so patient. Because that's who our Father is. Because in the same passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you back up to verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us, where? In all our tribulation. He comforts us when we feel that we're squeezed and we can be squeezed no more. When we've been pressured and we don't think we can stand another moment of pressure. When we're just on the verge of giving up. Why? That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Every situation that you have found yourself in, every tough time that you have found yourself in, and you've come through it the other side, and you know you came through it because of God's mercy and God's grace and God's help and God's word, he will use you to minister to somebody else. So you have to be ready that, okay, it's horrible what you're facing. The unexpected. The unexpected phone call. The unexpected knock at the door. The unexpected, you go into a doctor's office and you get a report back. I've got what? And all of a sudden you get an unexpected diagnosis. Or there's an unexpected accident. Or you show up to work one day and you're called in the office and you no longer have employment. There's all these unexpected things that can happen to us in life. The unexpected divorce papers show up. You didn't even see it coming. All of a sudden, all these unexpected things can happen in our life. But I'm here to tell you today, because I know God. I know God is my Father, that he's present, that he's all-powerful, and he knows everything. He's not caught off guard. We get caught off guard because we don't expect that to happen. But the God who sees all, who knows all, who's with us all, is also there to catch us all when the unexpected happens. And I speak from life experience, because all the things that I listed there, I know what it's like to get a diagnosis. I know what it's like when a doctor says, we're going to have to take your left leg off and the knee down. I know what kind of diagnosis that is. I know what bad reports are. I know what loss of employment is. All these things I've experienced in life. And I'm here to tell you that he is the God of all comfort, and he's the God who comes through. Even in the worst of times, your God will come through. You may not see it right there at the moment, but when you get to know him, as it says in John 17:3, that this is eternal life, that you would intimately get to know who God is, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, there'll be such an anchor. It's called the anchor of the soul in Hebrews. There'll be such an anchor on the inside of you. You've heard me say this. When the anchor is secure at the bottom of the ocean, it doesn't move. But the rope that comes up to the boat could be going all like this on the top, in the swells, in the storm, and going up and down. There is something so secure that there's a bedrock that doesn't move. And he's able to secure, to anchor your soul the same way your spirit is anchored in him. He's able to bring a stability in your thinking. He's able to get those emotions down where they need to be. He's able to bring a healing into the brokenhearted. He's able to lead the captivity out of their captivity. He's able to take the crushed and the pieces of somebody's life that's been absolutely crushed by something unexpected and say, I'm going to put it back together even more beautiful than it was before. See, that's my Father. So I'm not saying we're not going to face things. I'm just saying you got to look for the God outcome in those things. You've got to look to God in the middle of it, right there in the center of what's going on, that he's right there. And the Word of God tells us in Hebrews, I'm going to go to the last verse in Hebrews chapter 2 and the last three verses in Hebrews chapter 4. You just need to hear this.
Because you know what I've also found out? The unexpected presence of God. The unexpected answer. The unexpected knock at the door, that's a blessing, that was one of you. The unexpected card that came in the mail that lifted us when we needed to be lifted. The unexpected phone call. You know, I just don't know why, but I know you guys are grieving right now, but I just felt I had to call you. Perfect timing, perfect timing, perfect timing. You see, August 10th was our son's birthday, and I wasn't going to go. I wasn't going to go to the memorial. What I have learned, those who love deeply, you get hurt deeply. But God is deeper still. He will meet you in that deepness. He will meet you in that agony. And I have found that in my time, I believe is it Psalm 23, verse 4? Before I go to this Hebrews 1, is it Psalm 23, verse 4? It talks about the shadow. Is that it? Psalm 20, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Valley is a low place. If you've done any research on sheep and shepherds, and they go from one grazing place to another grazing place, at times they have to go through a valley to get there to another area where the sheep need to be grazed and fed. And at times when they're going through this narrow place, when they're going through this place, the sun can be, it could be low in the morning, and it's creating a shadow that the sheep are afraid of the darkness, but they can still hear at times a shepherd will have his staff, he'll have a bell on his staff, or he'll make a what, what. He'll make some kind of noise, some kind of sound that the sheep are familiar with. And as long as they hear that sound in front of them, they will follow the voice leading them. And though they can't see anything, they hear the shepherd's voice, and everything is dark, everything is narrow. It's a low place, but those sheep will continue to progress after the sound or the voice of their shepherd. Now, what I like about it is a shadow of death. Shadows pass. When was the last time a shadow killed you? Usually a shadow that is formed, let's say an airplane flies by, it causes you to look up. What's creating the shadow? Well, the mountainside created the shadow. But as the sun continues to rise, that even in your deepest valley, the sun can shine. Even in the place where you feel that, I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of this, I guarantee he will gently lead you, as it says in Isaiah 40. He gently leads those with young. I'm telling you that this is experience, because I was in such a dark place. A phone call would happen, or the doorbell would ring, or a card will come, or all of a sudden my phone, ding. I'm like, oh, I got a text. Perfect. You see, in that shadow of death, light penetrated. Jesus manifested through your lives and other people's lives. And it's absolutely beautiful. Like I said in intercession this morning, someone may look good. You may see somebody today that's got, they look great coming into church, but they could be in a very low place. And if the Lord tells you to go up to that person and hug them, or just good to see you today, can I pray with you? No, I'm okay. No, just real quick. Let me just say a quick prayer. Listen. We are told that God doesn't look like a man looks at outward appearance. God sees the heart. So the outward appearance may look good, but the inward heart may be hurting. And if God, by the Holy Spirit, is using you to encourage somebody, please follow the encouragement that the Holy Spirit has given to you for that person. Because you just never know what it will mean to that person. You know, some people say, oh, Mark and Christine, you know, they're hurting right now. They don't need anybody to come see them. If it was put upon your heart, you do it. You do it. You understand what I'm saying? Because you just never know if that's the moment that the valley and a shadow of death, or the enemy is taunting them. Sometimes a shadow of death is a taunting of the enemy. Oh, look what has happened. Oh, look, you spiritual whatever.
Look what has occurred within your life. Where did you go wrong? Where did you miss it? Sometimes these nagging things try to come up, and then all of a sudden, there's that person being led of the Holy Spirit. Or all of a sudden, it's just supernaturally of the Lord. Mark, don't do that. Don't go there. It's like, okay, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And we have to be able to trust him that he's able to do that. And that's why we have such a merciful and faithful high priest in Jesus Christ. As it says in Hebrews chapter 2, it says, For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted or tested, he is able to aid those who are being tempted or tested. See, Jesus had to go through the whole human experience. He had to experience. You may not think that Jesus experienced something that you may experience in life, but the Word of God is the truth. And if it says that he's able to tempt you in your time, he's able to come to you when you're experiencing a test or a trial or something negative going on in your life because of living this life experience, Jesus somehow, some way shared in the same. It says that he has tasted death for every person. So whatever that death is that's trying to work in you, he tasted of the same to identify with you and to help you. This word aid is to help you in your time of need. And that's why you go to chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And there are so many times I said, Lord, you promised. This is what your word says. And I need you to show up, Lord God. I need you to fulfill this promise right now. It says that you are a very present help in time of trouble. Lord God, I'm in trouble right now. I'm hurting right now. And it says that your presence will be made known in this time. And I guarantee you, God's presence is known in that time. There's something supernatural that happens. It's like the tears just supernaturally dry up, and there's a, oh, you're here. Thank you, Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in what? All. Anything and everything that we experience as being a human being on this planet, somehow, some way, he tasted of the same. And he's able to identify. If he's not able to identify, then he can't be our Savior. So he tasted somehow the pain of the trauma or the experience or the emotion. Somehow, in some way, he tasted of the same. Was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is the Jesus we have, and this is the Jesus you must get to know. And this is the Jesus. And this is the Jesus that you're going to be hearing more about. Because I'm going to take as long as I need to make sure every one of you are established in your faith. Because the unexpected is going to come. And you don't need to be like some of those people who depart from God or who give up on God or quit being as strong as they once were in the things of God. Things are going to happen. But there needs to be something built on the inside of you that no matter what takes place, no matter what goes on, my Redeemer lives and my Redeemer lives with me. And he's going to see me through. I may be broken, but I know what it goes on there to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says he delivered us. He delivers us now, and he will deliver us. He will deliver us. I've experienced his salvation in the past. There's something he wants me to experience of his salvation now. There's something he wants me to experience of his salvation in the future. There's something I know that he's touched on, he's healed me from in the past. There's a healing that he has right now in the present. And I know that he's the Lord and my shepherd, and he continues to heal me of the things that will take place in my life in the future. You have to have an understanding that your God is for you. Can we just put up Romans 8:28? How many of you have heard this scripture? How many of you quoted the scripture? How many of you have experienced the life that's in the scripture, though? And we know that what? There's that word all again. All things. Will what? All things work together for what? for good to them that love God. I'm not saying that it was a good thing that happened. I'm saying God will work it to good. And that's the difference that you have to realize, that at times, this that took place was not good. It wasn't good. I'll just flat out tell you right now, it wasn't good. But God is working it for the good. There's the big difference right there. And that's where my hope rests in. No parent should have to outlive their children. No parent should have to do that. It's a pain like none other that I've ever experienced in life. But I know my God. I know my Father God. And I'm getting to know Him even more. Because I am a person that loves God, and you are a people that love God. And you are a people, you know you are the called. You have answered the call. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not referring to you having a calling. Did you answer the call of salvation? Did you answer the call of the gospel? Did you answer when His truth came to you and you gave yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, to them who are the called according to His purpose? Because when you say yes to Him, He will use you for His purposes. He will take this thing that is utterly horrible and work it for the good so that you can use it in ministry, bringing others to become part of the call. You'll be able to minister that salvation and that truth to them because you're understanding in a way that you have not understood before the magnificent love of God that transcends everything. And He's able to take your life and take it and use it while it's broken, while it's being mended, after even it's healed. In that process, I have seen the hand of God at work. He wants to do that in and through you. It's absolutely beautiful. It wasn't beautiful that would happen, but it's beautiful what's happening. See, does that make sense to everybody? I'm not in denial, but I'm trusting God. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Didn't say some of my heart. Trust in it when it feels like it's just been shot through with a shotgun and every shotgun pellet is bleeding everywhere. And it says that, it says, trust Him when you're bleeding. Trust Him when the unexpected happens. Trust Him when I'm living, when my family's in a Toyota and we don't have any means of provision. And God says, is there a roof over your head? It's a Toyota Corolla. Are you safe? The doors are locked. Tomorrow's another day. I know what it's like to trust God when you have nothing. And then Him open His bounty where you have everything. Because remember that passage in Mark chapter 10? Where Jesus talks about the rich man, and he went away sorrowful because he had many riches. Jesus told him, go sell all that you have. And Peter and somebody said, oh, Lord, we've left everything to follow you. We've left everything. I mean, who then can be saved? I mean, what's going to happen? This is what I've experienced in my lifetime walking with Jesus. You see, some of the prosperity preachers say this a little bit differently than how I look at it. Who then can be saved? Mark 10:26. Then looking at them, Jesus said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, what? All things are possible. Then Peter began to say to Him, see, we have left all and followed you. Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say unto you, there is no one who's left house, brothers, sisters, mother or father, wife or children, lands, for my name's sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Did you notice the one thing that Jesus did not multiply? Wives. But you know, the neat part is here, what the Lord showed me a long time ago. If you read this and you read the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, in other places, where they said that everybody had everything in common. When it talks about lands, and you know, some of the prosperity preachers will say, you're going to get 100 houses. You're going to get 1,000 homes. You're going to have all this stuff. When I don't have a home, you allow me to come and stay in yours. When I don't have a place to lay my head, you invite me to crash on the couch. You see, in Puerto Rico, growing up in Puerto Rico, we had this saying, mi casa es su casa. And that's what Jesus is saying. You may have had one home, one brother, one sister, or maybe a few. Look around, all your brothers and sisters. Look around at the family of God. Look around. There's a multiple provision here to meet every need. But we live in such a Western culture, that's very unfamiliar to us, to bring somebody in our home, to let somebody crash with us. We still aren't there yet, church. But I believe in the days to come, you're going to find yourself housing people who need to be housed, feeding people who need to be fed. They're your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And there is a passage that says, will you deny your own flesh that needs to be clothed? And of course, we won't deny our own flesh, but he's also talking, will you deny your own family? And you know that they have a need. And so Jesus was referring here to the body of Christ all over the world. That when there is a need, your need will be met. You're going to meet brothers and sisters that you don't even know that are part of the family of God yet. I remember my mother-in-law, Harriet. She never met a stranger. She had this uncanny ability to be able to look at you. She'd be in a mall or a store. Are you my brother in the Lord? Yeah, I am. I just knew you were my brother in the Lord. And she would just start sharing the gospel back and forth. They'd share about things of Jesus. And if she happened to look at somebody, are you my sister in the Lord? And the person would say, no. Well, you ought to be. Let me tell you how. She just had this wonderful ability just to talk about Jesus everywhere. We need to be more free. But to realize that Mark chapter 10 and other places is referring to the universal church of Jesus Christ, and that we are to take care of our brothers and sisters when God speaks to us to do so. We are to help those in their time of need when God so relays to us to do so. My eyes have just been opened more to the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to share this part. Maybe another time. There are certain things I won't say with Christine present here. I will say this. I did talk to some people who were present when my son passed. And there was an anger that rose within me. I went back to the address. I questioned everybody. I was almost going back every day. And then, no matter who's to blame, whether it was purposely done to hurt my son or not, maybe I'll never know. But what I did leave with them was, you need to know Jesus. Whether what you're telling me is the truth or whether it's not the truth. And in my old flesh, I would have probably pounded everybody. But they didn't need a pounding. They're going to have to live with what they did. They're going to have to live with the choices that they made. But I did tell them that there is a Redeemer. And they can call on Jesus. That this lifestyle that they're presently living and whatever it was that happened here can be changed within their life. That there is forgiveness. And there's a Father in heaven who loves you and sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you. And I found myself ministering to people I probably would have ended up going to prison myself for. But because you're born of God, you have a different nature now within you. There's a different life there. And even though the flesh would like to do one thing, there's a compassion and love of God that begins to come forth because for by the grace of God. You know, I tell people the only difference between me and somebody else is I didn't die or I didn't get caught. Because I did the very same things in my life. And we need to learn to have more compassion on people. Instead of blaming somebody, minister the same life that we have received in Jesus Christ to them. Amen. Father God, I thank you for helping me share some of these things here today. That we know that the unexpected is going to come. But we're also aware that unexpectedly you come. That in our unexpected time, you unexpectedly show up. So we just don't think of the negative, unexpected things that happen in our life. But when those things happen, there's an understanding that we're all coming to know of a provision, of a safety, of a healing, of an answer, of a solution, of a guidance, of a provision. That we know, Lord God, and that you reveal that to us, sometimes even unexpectedly, and by those that we would least expect it from. So we thank you, Lord God, when the unexpected come, you come unexpectedly with your salvation, with your help, with your love, with your mercy, with your grace. You incarnate yourself in brothers and sisters who represent you to the one who's hurting. And so we thank you, Lord God, for the unexpected that's going to come and the unexpected answer and truth of yourself that is going to follow. And we trust you, Lord God, because you yourself, Jesus, experienced the same, so that you could identify with us, and just not identify with us, but bring the solution and answer that we need for our individual lives at that moment. And I thank you, Jesus, for being who you are, because I'm truly getting to understand that you are truly Lord of all. And I pray that my brothers and sisters, in their time of need, will not run from you, they will not blame you, but they will look to you. I don't understand, I'm broken, I'm hurting, I've confessed you as Lord of all, I now need you as my all, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And that's where we're at right now. We're in a healing process. We're in a wonderful, it's becoming more wonderful. You know, Christine mentioned the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." It's not well with my soul. But it is getting more weller. In my spirit, it's well. But up here, it's not well yet. Okay? But I know that what I know in my spirit, what God has revealed to me of himself, will bring all this into its right place. I'm not denying the brokenness, but I see pieces coming back together. Oh, gloriously coming back together. So it's okay. It is well, and yet not well, but getting weller. Amen? Hallelujah. And most of you may not know Keith Green. He was a Christian recording artist that passed away in a fatal plane crash in 1982. He's been my favorite Christian recording artist ever since. I listen to Keith Green probably more than anybody else. It's just that, and Jeremiah once asked me, he says, "Dad, what's your favorite Christian recording artist?" I said, "It's Keith Green." He goes, "Why?" I go, "Not only did he sing, but he ministered when he sang. And he had a Bible school, and he wrote articles, and he taught the Word of God, and even at his concerts, he shared Jesus at all his concerts." And so he was basically a minister using music, and he would minister. And there was just something about him, and I did not realize that after I shared that with him, he started listening to Keith Green. And it became some of his most favorite music was Keith Green songs. And I want to play one for you today at the end of this service. There is a Redeemer. There is a Redeemer. And you have to realize that no matter what you're facing, there is redemption in what you're facing. There's the answer of God in what you're facing. Amen? So let's just go ahead and listen to this song, "There is a Redeemer."
God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One, Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Messiah.